right, let's stand in reverence to the Word of God tonight and read from the book of Ephesians, if you're able. Thank God for the prayer meeting. Somebody this past week, I don't know if I was reading it or listening to it, somebody said one of their pet peeves, it was a preacher, said one of their pet peeves was to go to a prayer meeting and they only spent 2 minutes praying. And I guess if you call it prayer meeting, it's good to pray. Amen. It's prayer meeting and Bible study. Thank you for being here for prayer meeting. Ephesians chapter 3, and we'll begin at verse number 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. You can be seated. Pray with us, please. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to stand here in this place behind this precious old book. And I pray, God, tonight that the truths of this book, Lord, would just be manifest in our presence tonight in such a way, our Father, that we'd be encouraged, that we'd be blessed. And Father, I pray for those families, Lord, that have not yet come back, God, that you would just work in their hearts, and Lord, whatever they need, God, that need would be met. Lord, I forgot a while ago to pray for Sister Joyce, but now I pray for her. You brought her back to my mind. Lord, help her with the vertigo, I pray. And Lord, I just pray that you'll bless our dear people that are suffering, and God, help them in each day that they have just to rejoice in your goodness and to know, our Lord, that our name is written in heaven. God, we can rejoice in that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. We began last Wednesday night talking about the subject glory in the church. And we talked about the time factor, how that all throughout the chapter here, different places, there's a dispensation in the other ages, now, eternal, from the beginning of the world. And I think I brought out a verse last week in Romans, now it is high time to awake out of sleep. And I thought about that when I looked at this poster, Awake, America. And there's a lot going on that I think that most people would deem it as political. But I believe that there is a spiritual warfare that's being fought right now beyond measure, amen, that there's spiritual wickedness in high places. I just don't know how you can line up with some things and believe the Bible at the same time. I don't know how you can do it, amen. And I wouldn't want to stick with something just because mommy or daddy did if it don't line up with the Word of God. Amen. We need the Word, and we need to line up with the Bible. Glory in the church. What I want to look at tonight is the marks. It's marks, the marks of the glory. What is it marked by? You know, Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe when he was talking about that, he was talking about the stripes where that he had been beaten for the cause of Christ and because he wouldn't back up on the truth. And I know that there are people today that think that could never happen. in America. I tell you, as I look at the suffering in the Ukraine, and I look at how the children and the women have been abused, I'm telling you, beloved, listen, if you don't know this, I'm not being a smart aleck tonight, but we're on the edge, I'm talking about, of a world war again. And this time, beloved, there'll be no winners and losers, except for God's people. Glory to God. We win, amen, in the end, either way. But, beloved, we need to be much in prayer. And I believe that if there are health issues with certain people, then they're probably going to look at it like they have nothing to lose. They have no morals. They have no scruples about them. They wouldn't know the love of God if it hit them in the face. Amen. And so we need to be much in prayer. But let's look at the marks of the glory in the church. Number one, it's marked by faith. That might be simple tonight, but I want to show it to you in the chapter. Beloved, the Bible, it's no accident that in the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, the Word of God said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. I want to say this to you tonight. Without faith, it's impossible to give God the glory. It's impossible for God to get glory in the church apart from faith. Tomorrow's the National Day of Prayer. But there's some stipulations about praying. Number one, we got to confess unconfessed sin. And we got to forsake it. Amen. But number two, beloved, we got to believe. If we don't pray believing, we're wasting our breath. Say amen. And we need to trust God to do what needs to be done. But the Bible is teaching us here. Look in verse number 3 and verse number 4. The Bible said here in verse number 3 and 4 that how that by the revelation he made known unto me the mystery as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with faith? Everything. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When Paul pulled into a new town or a new place, or if he was on a ship or wherever he was, listen, he said, listen, God forbid, amen, he didn't want to preach anything except the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he knew that the gospel would get it done. There's a text on my heart. Let me see if I can find it. I think it might be in the book of Galatians. I don't know. I know where it is on the page. That's why I can't use another Bible. I have to stay with this one. This it's a King James Bible, but it's a Scofield Bible. It may not be there. Let's see here. What I'm looking for is great is the mystery of godliness. Was that in, where is it? Somebody tell me. How that God was manifest in the flesh. Does anybody know where that verse is? You know where it is? You don't know where it is either. We're all in good company, ain't we? Amen? But I want to read it to you because it's precious. It's a precious verse of Scripture. Somebody help me. There it is. Thank you. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 16. The Word of God said, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. You say, Pastor, what's that got to do with glory in the church? Beloved, that's the mystery that's being revealed through the writings and the preachings of the Apostle Paul. And God said, one of the things we need to do is believe it. Have faith, amen, and trust God. In verse number 8, let's go back over to the book of Ephesians. I've lost my place now. Ephesians chapter number 3. Let's go back over there and look at verse number 8. The Word of God said, unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. The Apostle Paul understood, beloved, that if God was going to get glory in the church, somebody was going to have to believe. And if somebody was going to believe, somebody was going to have to hear. And if somebody was going to hear, somebody was going to have to preach. And if somebody was going to preach, somebody would have to send them. Amen. I tell you, I can't wait to see what's going to go on in Brother Coulter's life. Amen. When he gets up there. Hey, listen, you think about how large a church would have to be, Brother Steve, to have 100 grown men in the church. He's going to have between 100 and 200 just to start. Amen. I promise you this, it'll grow. Say amen. Them old boys will go back and say, you've got to come hear this country boy. He ain't got a lick of sense. Amen. I'll tell you what's the truth. He does have some sense too. He's going to preach this book and preach Christ. Amen to those men. And God is going to help men to believe. Look at verse 12. The word of God said, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Beloved, do y'all believe that there's one, that one mediator between God and man? The man, Christ Jesus. Do you believe that he's seated at the Father, the right hand of the Father, to make intercession for us? And the book of 1 John in chapter number 5 talks about we need to ask in faith. We need to ask with confidence. This is the confidence that we have in him. Amen. I believe sometimes we approach the throne of God like my children used to. They used to approach me. They would hold up something in the store and say, Daddy, we can't have this, can we? I'm going to tell you something right now. Now, God ain't like Daddy. You know what Daddy would do if it was at all possible, don't you? If a youngin' holds something up and says, Daddy, I can't have this, can I? Or we can't have this, can we? Amen. When I was young, Mama said, honey, I ain't got no money. You say, that's not good English, but everybody in the country knows what it means when you ain't got no money. Amen. I said, well, Mama, you got a check, ain't you? That's what I said to her. Amen. But God wants us to have confidence that it doesn't matter, beloved. He wants to answer our prayer according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. God's not broke. Amen. And so he wants us to have faith and confidence. Look at verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. I believe there's a mistake made in the family of God. Everybody puts a great deal of emphasis on faith when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they put no emphasis on faith when you leave the altar to go out. Listen, beloved, you don't go out to do it on your own. We got in by faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to serve God by faith. We're to pray by faith. We're to tell others the gospel by faith. And beloved, one day by faith we're going home. Amen. That's a blessing, isn't it? Beloved, do you remember what Jesus said to Martha? Lazarus had died. Remember what he said? He said, if thou wouldest believe, what did he say? Thou shalt see. Does anybody know what he said she would see? The glory of God. Boy, I'll tell you something right now. I believe that every one of us, like the disciples, could afford Brother Justin to come before Jesus and say, Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Increase my faith. Help me not just to ask you, but to believe you when I ask you. Amen. So the mark of the glory in the church, one of the marks is faith. The second mark is fellow heirs or fellowship. Look in verse number 6. The word of God said that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Y'all know what that's talking about right there. There was the Jew, and the Gentile. And God tore down the middle wall or partition. And he took two and made one body in Christ. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I don't know how many people go to this church on average Sunday. Maybe 150 now. We were a little bigger than that before. But that doesn't matter, beloved. Listen, I want you to know however many comes together, God takes them and puts them in one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a believer in the local church. I believe God smiles on the local church. I believe God wants glory in the local church. I believe God wants his people to belong to a local church. Amen. I am a believer in the local church. And I believe God wants us to be fellow heirs. Look at Ephesians chapter number 2 and verse number 11 is where we'll start reading. The Word of God said, "Wherefore remember that being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh." And by the way, beloved, we ought, listen, it doesn't matter if you've never been, so to speak, out in these sins, the way that some people's lived in sin. I think about testimonies of people that were saved when they were young, and God spared them the scars of the sin of this world. But listen, we ought to shout right here, "Wherefore remember that being in times past, Gentiles in the flesh." All of us tonight, I don't reckon there's any Jews in the house. I believe every one of us are Gentiles. And the Word of God said, "Who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." God said that's where the whole Gentile people were located, amen, without hope and without God. But now, he said, in Christ Jesus, you sometimes who are far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Ain't that good tonight that God would take you and I, the dogs, the Gentile dogs, tear down the middle wall of partition, make both one body in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're talking about glory in the church. When we get a hold of that, and that gets a hold of us, and we don't deserve that, amen, but God will get the glory. Fellow heirs, the Bible said here, "For he is our peace, who hath made both one, hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity." And the Word of God said, "Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them which were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Glory in the church is marked by faith. Glory in the church is marked by fellow heirs or fellowship. Glory in the church, number 3, is marked by the Father. Look what the Word of God said here. The Word of God said in verse number 14, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." I used to tell them in the prisons, and I'll repeat it tonight, when I got saved, I changed daddies. Amen. Jesus said, now a lot of people don't want to hear this, but it's the truth. He told him, he said, "You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father will you do." He was a liar from the beginning. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, a man or a woman that's not saved has got the wrong daddy. He's the one lies to you, amen. He's the one that leads you astray. He's the one, beloved, that'll make you a promise and never keep it. But thank God when you got born again, you got a father that'll never lie to you. A father that'll never leave you nor forsake you. A father that's listening when your heart cries out to him. A father that can comfort you in every situation. We have, listen, the Word of God talks about our Father. You remember the model prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Amen. Oh, beloved, listen, we need to approach him, I believe, with great respect and great reverence. Amen. And thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We see our Father. We have access to the Father. In verse number 12, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. In verse number 14, we have access. We bow our knees unto the Father. In verse number 20, we have access now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask, that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. You know what I like about that? I never have really thought about this before, but I love that scripture in the book of Romans. I believe it's in chapter number 8 when it talks about, let me just read it. Romans chapter 8, I believe it's chapter 8. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought." That's what the Word of God said. "But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." I believe some of the best praying God's people do is when they come with a broken heart before the Lord and can't even get a word out. Jesus said here, Paul said here in verse number 20, unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. In other words, beloved, it's not our words getting the job done. It's the precious Holy Spirit that lives in our bosom. Amen. And sometimes we don't even know the words and know what we need. But we thank God that he makes intercession for us. Then there's the abundance of the Father. Look in verse number 16. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his might by the Spirit in the inner man. You and I both know, beloved, listen, that there's people in the world that name the name of Christ and act like he's fell off the throne and act like he's broke and act like he can't help them in their situation. But I want you to know something, beloved. He has all power in heaven and in earth. And I believe he has everything that you and I need to bring glory to him in the church. The word of God said here in verse number 20, the Bible said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We see access to the Father. We see the abundance of the Father. But then we see the affection of the Father. Look in verse number 15. The word of God said, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. You say, Pastor, what do you mean, the affection of the Father? Beloved, have you ever thought about this? You get to carry his name. I'll never forget, Brother Jason, when I was a teenager, my daddy looked at me. He said, son, we don't have much. And he said, if something don't change, we probably never will have much. He said, but son, we have a good name. He looked at me and said, son, please don't drag our name in the mud. I want you to know tonight, if you're saved by the grace of God, Brother Jim, you got a good name. Amen. And not only that, Brother Jim, you've got a new name written down in glory. Amen. And the Word of God is teaching us here that he loves us. Look, if you will, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in what? In love. Look at verse 18, that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. I'll tell you something tonight. Listen to me. That right there would take care of a lot of problems. It'd take care of problems in the home if people just knew the love of Christ. It'd take care of problems on the job. It'd take care of problems in the church if people just knew the love of Christ, the affection of the Father. He loves us. No wonder John, many, many times in his writing, he would say, the disciple whom Jesus loved. I tell you, he never got over it. And if you get over it, that's your problem. Amen. You should never get over the fact that he loves you. Amen. He loves you. And I'll tell you this, maybe you're not like me, but most of the time he has to love us in spite of us. Say amen. We don't get it right half the time. Amen. But one thing will never change. He loves us. Amen. He loves us. And then by fullness, this is something that really amazed me when God dealt with my heart about this message. Brother Craig had just finished preaching on Sunday morning on the fullness of God. And I noticed it here in this passage. And I listened to the message that he preached, and I didn't hear him mention this. But anyway, I thought it was amazing how that God wanted us to see. Not only is there glory in the church by faith and by fellow heirs or fellowship by the Father, but by the fullness. With fullness, beloved, the fullness of God. Watch what he said right here. Now unto him, let's see, verse number 20. No, I'm looking for a text right here, verse number 15, I believe. Of whom the whole family, where is, right here it is, verse 19, I'm sorry. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. I'll tell you something right now, beloved. That's a tall order. Can I tell you the hardest thing in the world about being filled? Everybody listening? I'm going to tell you the hardest thing in the world about being filled, Brother Junior. It's being emptied. That's where the struggle is. Brother Grizzle, getting self out of the way that we might be filled with the fullness of God. Oh, beloved friend, I want you to know tonight, you're talking about bringing glory and God getting glory in the church. You get 25 or 30, I don't care if it's 150 or 200 people, you get 25 or 30 come through the doors just plumb full. Years ago, I don't know if you've heard the song, Sister Abby, but I'm drinking from the saucer because my cup is overflowed. I tell you what's the truth. If God's people, beloved, just be spilling over, amen. It'll spill over on somebody else and God will get the glory. Say amen. I can remember my grandmother when I didn't know God. I didn't know the language. I didn't know the Bible. I can remember my grandmother shouting in the house of God. And I'm telling you, I knew she had something and I didn't know nothing about. Say amen. I'm telling you, beloved, listen, we need that again. We need somebody to get so full of God that, beloved, it comes out of them and they can't help it. Amen. If you can help it, help it. It ain't real unless you can't help it. Say amen. When you get to can't help it, beloved, it's fixing to get on for the glory of God. And then you say, Pastor, what's this fullness? With fullness comes, number one, humility. Look in verse number 8. How many believes Paul was full of God? Brother Steve, a man that's full of himself don't say what's said in verse number 8. Unto me, is that what it said there? How it start? Who am less than the least of all the saints. That, with fullness comes humility. See, in other words, in order to be full, pride has to go out the window. Have you ever been around some of these preachers? Listen to me. I'm saying it and I ain't going to take it back. I'm saying this on purpose. Every time they get up, they got to tell you where they went to Bible college. I wonder sometimes if a dean of that college was sitting there, if he wouldn't say, shh. Save men! I had a fella tell me one time, this is what he said. He said, my wife and I are amazed at how you preach. No more education than you got. Paul said, I'm determined to know nothing among you save Christ and Him crucified. He took all that big list of credentials, Brother Steve. He said, I count it but dung. I'm not against Bible college, amen. But if you're bragging on college, you're bragging on the wrong thing. God's going to get glory and we're going to get full. It's got to come through humility. Not bragging on the college, but bragging on Christ. Not bragging on the church, but bragging on Christ. Christ is the only one that deserves glory. Unto Him be glory in the church. I love Paul. He said, if you want to talk about saints, I'm less than the least. And you remember what he said? He said, if you don't talk about sinners, I'm the chief. You say, what is that, Pastor? I tell you what that is. That's humility. It wasn't some kind of put on. Paul, every time he got up to preach, he would rehearse, Brother Steve, what he was doing. Going down there to arrest some more. Those that were of, quote, this way, this gospel way, this Jesus way. He knows the one he met on the Damascus Road. And he knew that his eternity was changed because of that meeting. And it didn't cause him to blow up. It caused him to be humble. It caused him to be humble before God. It's marked by humility. Look at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Beloved, Paul was a humble man. Not only that, it's marked by strength. Look in verse number 16. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with His might, by His Spirit in the inner man. You show me a man that's full, and I'll show you a man that's strong in the Lord. Watch this now. You remember what he said? You say, well, Pastor, I feel weak sometimes. This is what the Word of God said. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. It's okay for a man to be weak. God knows that. But His strength is made perfect in our weakness. His strength is not made perfect in our strength. His strength is made perfect in our weakness. In verse number 20, it speaks of power, according to the power that worketh in us. And then it's marked, if you're going to be full, it's marked by humility, it's marked by strength, it's marked by power. But in verse number 19, it's also marked by knowledge. The knowledge of the love of Christ. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, what would it do if we just started praying, God, would you help me to love like you love? Would you help me to forgive like you forgive? I marked a couple passages of Scripture just a while ago. I believe fullness is marked by forgiveness as well. I didn't find this in the text in Ephesians 3, but look at Acts chapter 15. I'll close with this. Acts chapter 15, then we'll make reference to it in Timothy. 2 Timothy, I believe. Acts chapter 15 and verse number 34. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them. Why? Because he departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. You know what John Mark did? He missed it. Can I ask you a question tonight? Have any of y'all ever missed it? Have any of y'all ever went somewhere where you shouldn't have went, or failed to go somewhere where you should have went? Watch this now. And so John Mark, he went not with them to the work. And look at verse number 39. You say, now, Pastor, Paul was a good man. Yep. And the Bible said, and the contention was so sharp between them, they departed asunder one from another. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about here in this story? Barnabas said, let's take Mark. Paul said, it ain't happening. He done went the wrong way once. We're not doing this again. Let me tell you something, beloved. Listen to me. Even the man of God can get it wrong at times. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you how God gets glory. Let me just read the rest of this real quick. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from another. So Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now I'm going to show you something. Y'all know this, I know. I'm going to show it to you again. Because I believe glory in the church is not only marked by faith, and marked by fellowship, and marked by the Father, and marked by the fullness, but I believe it's marked by forgiveness. Look with me at 2 Timothy quickly. Look with me, please, at 2 Timothy. Paul's a dying man now. He said in verse number 6, I'm ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Paul's had some time to think about things. I would dare say, Brother Steve, if I was guessing, I don't know this for sure, but as far as activity, his ministry has probably slowed way down. He's had some time to reflect. He's had some time to think back. And I'm going to tell you something, anybody that's full of God, listen to me. If there's contention, me and you have sharp words, Brother Steve, we ain't going to forget that. Amen. We may not get it right away, but we ain't going to forget it. It's going to be there. It's going to find that lodging place. And Paul has slowed down now, I believe. He's getting ready to leave the world. Watch what he said. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Now Paul has not gotten so soft that he can't tell the truth. Watch what he said. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. He's talking to Timothy. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me. He's still telling the truth, Brother Steve. He said, having loved this present world and is departed unto Thessalonica, the Christians to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Well, look at verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark. That's the same one. He said, take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Somewhere along the line, Paul changed his mind about Mark and was no longer contentious over Mark helping him in the ministry. But now he's thankful. Now he's actually requesting him. I don't know. The Bible doesn't tell us. Maybe somewhere Brother Jason, he wrote him a note. It said, Paul, I know I messed up. Would you forgive me? I don't know. Maybe he just, like Paul, maybe they didn't say anything. Maybe he just pressed on in the ministry with Barnabas. Maybe Barnabas just said to Paul, Brother David, you wouldn't believe what a help that boy was to me. But somewhere along the line, the Apostle Paul found it in his heart. He's no longer contentious about what happened, but he's forgiven him. And I want to tell you something tonight. Listen to me carefully. Every one of you that are saved by the grace of God, every one of you that are saved by the grace of God are needed. There's not a one of us that's not needed. You say, now, Pastor, how could you make such a statement? Remember what the Bible said, can the hand say to the ear, I have no need of thee? I mean, when I put my foot on the ground last Sunday and it would not carry my weight, I couldn't say to my foot, forget about you. I'm going on to the house of God and do what I've always done. Really, big boy? I'm just a heel, but I'm in poor glory. I'm just a heel, but I'm important. I'm just a heel, but you can't do what you need to do without me. I'd rather be a heel for Jesus than I would to be a big shot for the world or the devil. Say amen. How many's glad you come? I'm still not finished. Uncoupling. There's one more thing. If you think I'm going to start on it at 10 minutes after 8, you've lost your mind. Better not do that. How many believes God wants glory in the church? I want Him to get glory out of my life, don't you? I want Him to get glory in our church, Brother Gary. I want God to get the glory. And I'll tell you something. I came to Bible Way years ago. I've met some very humble people here. Brother Brian's in heaven tonight. Brother Grizzle, did you ever try to brag on him? He wouldn't let you, would he? He didn't want to hear it. He didn't want to hear it. There's some precious people in our church that know that if there's any good thing about us, Brother Houston, it's him. You put that mess on our account. But if there's anything worth talking about, it's him. I've almost started on my last point right there. Let's stand tonight. How many's glad you come?